Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dream work for your health and wholeness, with hosts Billy Ortiz and Dr. Royce Fitz. I am the producer, Viviana, and today we will not have Billy Ortiz. She's still on her vacation, dreamcation. Today we have a special guest, who is a superstar. Please help me welcome Debbie Spector Weissman. She is the host of the podcast Dream Power Radio and the Dream Power Experience on YouTube. She has incorporated the knowledge gleaned from her professional work as a wife and mother into her dream life coaching practice, which she calls her third career. In addition to her private coaching work, Debbie has written or been a contributing writer to 29 books. She is also the co-owner of a film and video production company, which was instrumental in the production of dozens of films, including the groundbreaking film, What the Bleep Do We Know? Wow. Help me welcome Debbie Spector Weissman. Welcome. So nice to have you.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
This is a lot of fun.
And yes.
Viviana and I are turning the tables on Debbie. Debbie, I had the honor of being interviewed for Debbie's podcast several weeks back, and it was a glorious interview. And as payback, we are honored to have you here, Debbie, to share a dream and to talk about who you are and how in your waking world you're helping to change us, heal us. So thank you for your work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for such kind words.
You're welcome. They're sincere.
Before we started recording, I was asking you about your role in What the Bleep Do We Know? I remember just absolutely loving that film. And you were saying, I cut you off because I said, we need to record this. So please tell us what you were referring. How did that happen? And what was going on in your life back then?
Well, like I said, my husband and I have a film video post-production company. And we were involved in post-production, which is the part of filmmaking that's after the movie is shot, you know, making sure things get done. And we had done a lot of work with Betsy Chassie, who is just an amazing individual, and happened to be one of the producer writer of What the Bleep Do We Know. And she came to us and said, hey, we need help in finishing this picture. We want to hire you to be the post-production supervisors. Actually, my husband is the post-production supervisor, but it was our company, and so everybody in the company was involved. Well, we just came to it as filmmakers, not having any idea about the content matter of the film. And when I saw what it was just totally eye-opening for me, because I like to say that at that point in my life, actually up to that point in my life, I was what I would call the ultimate fatalist. You know,
wow.
Life was a certain way, you did certain things, and you had no control really about overall what would happen. And since, you know, the theme of this movie is that you have control to change your life and you can do that, that was just such a revelation to me. And it started me down this road that has now led me to where I am now, you know, hosting podcasts, being a dream life coach, helping people explore their dreams, getting to know my own dreams, and this whole self-discovery, which, you know, that was sparked by that movie. That was the beginning of it. And it was just an amazing experience. Our company was actually involved in the movie for over 4 years through the finishing of What the Bleep, and then there was a sequel, What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole, which my husband,
I remember that title.
He co-produced it with William Lawrence, who was, you know, the producer of What the Bleep. And so that was like another year after the original movie came out. And it was just, being fed all of that positivity and all of that you know, great knowledge, which was just an amazing experience to have.
So you were sharing that the film came out in 2004.
Yes.
And it's amazing to hear how, for you, this idea, this concept, this movie, this you were hired to help create, get the movie into post-production. You didn't expect, it sounds like, to have your life changed. And your life was changed.
Not at all. I mean, you know, it started out, it was a job, just like any other job that we had done, you know, helping people finish their movies. And, you know, usually the content matter of most of the other movies we dealt with, you know, was nothing like this. I mean, mostly, you know, dramas or comedies or very, you know, Hollywoodish type things. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I learned so much from it and learned to start exploring that question of who am I? And this was about maybe 7 or 8 years before I discovered dream work. So mm-hmm. it was like a path that led me to dream work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way that the theme of this movie, message of the movie affected you deeply and putting you on the spot, which is kind of fun because you're good at this. What do you notice that the movie did that shifted you? What were some of those shifts in your molecular system of who Debbie Spectrum Weissman is?
Well, yeah, there's a scene in the movie where Marty Mantlin, who is, you know, the lead character in the narrative part of the movie, mm-hmm. is sitting in her bath and she draws hearts all over her body as mm-hmm. a way of expressing, you know, self-love. And this was amazing because I never thought, you know, do I really love myself? You know, mm-hmm. is that possible? And the answer at the time was probably no. Even though, you know, on many levels, you know, I was living a perfectly fine life. You know, I had a wonderful husband and two great kids and mm-hmm. you know, the house and all that kind of stuff. But I knew there was something missing. You know, there was some part of me that was hidden. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took a while for all of that to be revealed. And mm-hmm. you know, it started me on that journey. And mm-hmm. I think I'm still on that journey, will be on that journey, you know, for the rest of my life, because I believe mm-hmm. you never stop learning.
Right. How you're describing this is that you had a pretty good life and things were pretty fixed, you know, pretty not shifting a whole lot in your world. You were okay. And something in that scene, plus the other work that you were involved in with this, your life began to change. And this is what inspires me, is that this is kind of like a microscopic waking dream that you had, and that dreams do come to help us move and change and move and get out of the box of who we are for our sake and for the world's sake.
Yeah, it's interesting you put it that way, because at the time I would not have thought I am living the dream. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like, you know, this is just reality, and mm-hmm. your reality might shift a little bit. Sometimes it's great and sometimes, you know, there are challenges, but that's mm-hmm. it. And the idea that I had any control in it was just such an alien concept until then. And learning that I do have control, and then what do I do with that? You know, what do I want? It got me into the question of, well, what do I want to do with it? And, you know, that was the journey. And that's one that keeps continuing.
Yes. Viviana, I know you're setting on ideas and thoughts and feelings, and let's hear you respond to what Debbie is sharing and how the dream how the movie affected you, Viviana.
Well, I was just very impressed with the movie. I thought it was groundbreaking. It was unique, and it was unlike everything else that was going on at the time, I think. And then I just wanted to ask Debbie, what was it that led you 7 years later down the dream path?
Well, it was actually because of What the Bleep, my husband started getting asked to direct other kinds of, you know, mind, body, spirit documentaries. And he had done a couple. And the one that made that change, where I discovered dream work, was a film called Dreaming Heaven, which was about a spiritual journey to Teotihuacan, Mexico, which is just an amazing place. And if you haven't been there, you must, because it's incredible. And this was a documentary of, you know, a group of people who went down there. And one of the people in the movie turned out to be a dream worker, although during all the time we were making the movie, I didn't know any of this. You know, she, in the movie, she's wearing a cowboy hat. So I used to refer to her, because we're in the editing room and looking at things, you know, the girl in the cowboy hat. Well, that girl in the cowboy hat turns out to be Kelly Sullivan Walden, who is just an amazing dream worker. And I met her after the movie was finished. And actually, she came back to LA. I met her, and she was starting up some dream circles and asked me if I wanted to join. And at that point, you know, I had remembered dreams at different points in my life, but it wasn't an important thing to me. And certainly had no idea that I could do anything with my dreams. And so I said, sure, I'll check it out. And I just, again, you know, another eye-opening experience of seeing, you know, what people can actually do in terms of understanding what their dreams were and hearing other people's dreams, and then learning how to remember my dreams and, you know, keeping a dream journal and sharing it. The thing with in the dream circles, whenever I present my dreams were kind of really short, to the point where Kelly dubbed me the queen of the dream snippets. They're just really short dreams, but they were to the point. And I kind of, you know, and thinking back on it, I kind of attribute that to my high school English teacher, because every day, who also had one of the reasons I became a writer, I was very influenced by her. And one of the things she just drilled into us every day was omit needless words. I mean, she said it like a mantra. Day in, day out, omit needless words. So I think my dreams tend to be compact because my mind, my subconscious is editing out all those words. So I don't have these great, grand, epic dreams. Once in a while I do, but most of them are, mm-hmm. you know, of the shorter variety. Anyway, flash forward. Kelly has a training program to become a dream life coach. And I thought, you know, I'm really interested in these dreams and learning more about the dreams. I'll take the course and check it out, see what it is. I learned so much about dreams, about myself, about everything. But it wasn't until about halfway through the course I had what I call the dream that changed my life. And it had such a profound effect on me that I said, if a dream could have this powerful an effect on me, it must have that kind of effect on other people. And I want to help other people see how dreams can have great impact on them, maybe even change their own lives. So I completed the course, got certified as a coach, and that's what led me on the path.
Wow. And what about these 29 books? Can you tell us a little bit about some of them?
Sure. 20 of them were what I like to call my previous life, which was before Bleep. It was when I was much younger, and I wrote or ghost wrote young adult novels. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a fun thing to do. It was great mm-hmm. fun. Then I got burnt out, and I didn't write another word for 25 years. And it wasn't until I rediscovered my dreams that I got interested in writing again. And in fact, one of the, like the final exam, one of in this course I was taking, we had to present a project. So I decided, let me step back a second. One of the homework assignments we had every week when we did this course was to do something called a dream date. And a dream date is an activity that you do for yourself, by yourself, but something that you have never done before or maybe did years and years ago, not something that's like part of your routine. So just as an example, if you never in your life did yoga and then took a yoga class, that could be a dream date. But if you do yoga all the time, it's not a dream date. So it has to be something very special. And these also had a profound effect on me. They really, you know, talk about, you know, drawing the circles, drawing the hearts on your body. Doing these dream dates really helped me learn to love myself again in a very profound way. So I decided that my project was going to be compiling not just my ideas of dream dates, but of some of the other people who are taking the course with me. And so I wrote it in the project, and Kelly said, you have to make this into a book. So about a year later, I finished a book called 101 Dream Dates, How to Say I Love You to the Most Important Person in Your Life, You. And now it is available as a free download on my website. So if anybody's interested in it, they could go to thedreamcoach.net, go to the books section and download it.
Thedreamcoach.net.
Yes.
I'm going to download it. That sounds wonderful. I love that idea. A dream date. Yes.
And it's great, you know, and you can think of them in the most odd places. Like one of my favorite ones that I did, which was after the book was out, I found myself stuck at LAX on a 4-hour delay. I'd already been, you know, checked in. I'm in the waiting room. And it's like the old me would have been grumpy and saying, oh, why do I have to go through this? And, you know, like that great mantle of victimhood would have just washed all over me. You know, how could this be happening to me? This is terrible. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a dream date. So I did this, you know, great walk, you know, to all the shops that were open, and but did it in a very purposeful way. So it wasn't like a chore or just an obligation or just even not even something just to kill time. It was something I was doing because I wanted to do it. So that little shift in the mindset makes a whole lot of difference. And I did that, and then I came back and sat down and I started reading a book that I've been wanting to read, but it was like sitting on my Kindle, and I said, hey, I've got the time to read it now. And I just had such a wonderful time that when they started calling us up to, you know, up to the gate, it's like, oh, already? The time had passed so much. You know, so that's just one example of how you can change something that could be a horrible experience into a empowering one.
Love this so much, Debbie. Wow. I feel like, yes. it's just so much. I just believe in this, everything that you've said. I just resonate so much. And I love doing that kind of thing too.
Well, go ahead and download it. It's free.
I'm excited. Wow. That's just wonderful. I love it. I love it. Beautiful. Wow. Go ahead, Royce.
I'm just expanding a little bit on this conversation. You mentioned Kelly Sullivan Walden, who is a great friend of our podcast and has been an inspiring person in many of our listeners' lives. And she was very supportive of me and the writing of my book. And where I'm going with this is how in 2004, you had this awakening that you did not know what the awakening really was going to look like. You just knew something began to shift about how you perceived yourself, how you perceived the world. And then there were these moments over several years, 7, 8 years, of you paying more attention to who you are and how you are contributing to how you are contributing goodness and healing to the world. And then you met this soul who loves dreams, and how that then opened you up even more to your callings, your new callings, your new inspiration to write, and to also encourage people to pay attention to their inner self, to love themselves. And as they love themselves in healthier ways, this changes the world, because it helps you, it helps us to look at the world through different eyes. And this is what dreams do for us. So thank you. It's a beautiful story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dreams, well, I don't have to tell you how powerful dreams are. Mm-hmm. But yes, one, and my way of doing it is to reach one person at a time. Because I feel dreams are so unique to us as individuals that, you know, the more I can show, you know, one person at a time, their power and how it can affect them in such wonderful ways. You know, that's my way of giving back to the world and doing something that's, you know, positive, you know, not just for me, but for other people as well.
One dream at a time. I love that. One person, one dream at a time.
And you have podcast, a Dream Power Radio and Dream Power Experience on YouTube. How long have you had these? I can't wait to dive into them as well, by the way.
Yeah. I've had the podcast for about 5 years, recently hit the 250 episode mark and still going. And when I originally started the podcast, I was encouraged by another wonderful woman named Raven, who has a network. And she invited me to come on her network to do, first, it was, when I first started, it was internet radio, and then it switched to podcast. And then about 2 years later, 3 years later, turned back into podcast and internet radio and television. So I had a TV show on Roku and Amazon Fire, which I'd called the Dream Power Show, which was a hour-long monthly show that featured, you know, some of the interviews that I had done. Earlier this year, I decided that I needed to go off on my own. So I left the network. And so I had all of these videos, and I put some up on YouTube several years ago, but I really didn't quite know what to do with them, and they'd just been kind of sitting there. About a month ago, I relaunched my YouTube channel under the name Dream Power Experience. So I now feature, you know, two new videos each month that will go up there. And Royce's show will be up there in a couple of months as well. So it's another way of reaching another audience to show them. Not all, like, in Dream Power Radio, and not, it's not 100% dreams. It is 100% empowerment and self-improvement and confidence building and things that people who need that little extra push, or maybe not aware, like I wasn't aware that there are all these worlds out there that are there to help you be the person you want to be, help you to, as I like to say, live your dream life. So it's mostly an interview show where I interview experts in various areas, just like I interviewed Royce as an expert dream worker. So I have a wide variety of all kinds of experiences. And every once in a while, I do a show, a solo show, where I'll talk about some aspect of dream work as well.
Mm-hmm. You are a busy soul and an effective soul.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I started all this as a labor of love. And, you know, the old expression, if you love what you do, you know, you never work a day in your life. So I wouldn't say it's effortless, but it doesn't feel heavy. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
I hear you.
Yeah. What a great conversation that we're having with you, Debbie. And this is up to Debbie and Viviana. Shall we, since we're talking about dreams so much and also making dreams come true, shall we move into having Debbie share her dream that she selected for us to have the honor and privilege of working?
Good with me.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the things I love about this too is how, as dreams are shared, and as you shared in this wonderful conversation, there is such an interweaving of nighttime dreams and daytime realities. They are not that far apart. So, Debbie, if you would just bless us with sharing your dream, and we will happily borrow it.
Well, I have it written down, so take your read.
Thank you.
It's not a teeny tiny dream, but it's not a huge one either, so it'll go pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm watching a musical, and the whole thing is playing out with words, which means that there's music throughout, but it's not important as any of the words as I'm watching it. I'm not even sure the type of music it is, except that because I refer to it as a musical, I think it's what I consider to be Broadway show tunes type of stuff. I also don't remember any of the particulars of the actual story, except that the main character is an older woman with blonde hair and wrinkles. I'm enthralled with the piece, and I'm sad to see it end. It's like one of those great stories you want to see go on and on and on. Everything in the dream is clear and makes sense to me while I'm in the dream. As others sing, the camera keeps coming back to this woman for an important lyric. At the end, she's upset because something only happens on a Sunday. Then at the end of the show, the credits come on with a copyright of 1973. And that's the end of the dream. When I wake up and write down the dream, I realize that the copyright doesn't make sense to me because there are references in the piece to the 1980s. This makes me feel puzzled about the dream. Why are the discrepancies in the dates? I'm also sad that I don't remember the details of the story. And I added at the end also, at the time I had the dream, I was on vacation on a cruise. Mm-hmm. This is where I was time and space for the actual dream itself.
Mm-hmm. I love that because my day job is as a guest entertainer on cruise lines. So that's where I live. That's my normal life. And
well,
I see
love the cruise I was on.
I see that also you titled it and subtitled it. Do you want to add that?
Yes. Okay. So the title that I came up with was Words Not Music. And the subtitle is The Unhappy One.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Unhappy One, as
woman.
In...
Woman.
Oh, Unhappy Woman.
Unhappy
Thank you.
Woman.
My first impulse is, what happened in my life in 1973 that might correlate at all with this?
Well, in 1973, the big thing was that at the end of 1973 was when I finished college. This last semester was in December of 1973, and then my actual graduation was, you know, the following May. But so that was I would say that's the most important thing in 1973. Certainly, you know, lots of other stuff happened. I mean, you know, I was, well, I met my husband in college the year before that. And of course, we got much more serious, you know, in 1973. And the thing about the 80s, because it said like there were events in the movie that happened in the 80s. When I was thinking about this dream, one of the things that came up to me what I thought about was 1973, it was the end of college, it was the end of one phase, the end of, you know, I'd call it formal education. The 80s for me was perhaps the high point of my creativity. That's when I wrote all those books. In terms of being, I would say not the most productive, because I've been productive, and you know, maybe not the most lucrative because I've made more money at other points, but in terms of maybe self-satisfaction, because you know, I loved writing the book until I got burnt out. I loved writing the books. So maybe that's it. But I'm not 100% sure that that's really what it's all about.
Because my background is astrology and tarot. And one of the first things that I do, given any number, I add them all up, like in numerology. 1973 adds up to a 2. And 2 in tarot is the high priestess. And in many ways, I as Viviana, see the dreamer, Debbie, as a form of high priestess. And 1980 adds up to 9, which is the hermit. I don't know if you can see the hermit card in tarot. No, you can't see it. Screen to screen doesn't work. But
we're on audio anyway, so the audience won't be able
right
to
right
see
it
that
was
either,
just a show anyway. It's the hermit card, which is so the high priestess, as the card elicits a woman who's very deeply spiritual and in touch with everything that's dreamy, and It's a woman, especially specifically, and a link to higher power or source. And then the hermit is perhaps elicits a time of introspection, of wanting to be more alone, of meditation, of going inward. So I'm wondering if any of that resonates with this dream.
Well, I love the idea of being a high priestess. That sounds fabulous to me. I will make one point of clarification. It wasn't 1980. It was the 1980s.
80s. Okay.
So it wasn't, you know, a particular, because I thought about that too, in terms of adding the numbers up and seeing what it would mean. Although I'm not an expert on that, and I would need help in figuring out what that means. But yeah, it was more like probably mid 80s and, you know, 1980 in particular. But yeah, that's it's intriguing. I'm not sure, although maybe it also helps one answer one part of it, because the woman was sad because something only happens on a Sunday. And maybe not in my religion, but in religion, Sunday is kind of a religious day. Maybe it's a time of, you know, another time of reflection could be used for that. And, you know, it could be that she wanted more in that, or to get deeper into that, and felt it could only happen then, and wasn't happy about that.
When did I, using the projective language, when did I have this dream?
I had it about 10 months ago. I was on a cruise, so I was feeling very relaxed and at peace. And, you know, there were no great stresses and problems going on at the time.
And it would help me to understand how the dreamer experiences musicals. From what we've already learned in my dream, I love in my life. I love music. I love drama. I love movies, and borrowing the dreamer's experience, I enjoy having a part of creating movies. So how was that in this dream? I was really loving this musical. Say more about musicals.
Yeah, well, I love musicals, and I love Broadway, and I've seen a lot of Broadway musicals in my time, and I love all kinds of different music. You know, my tastes go from, you know, rock to Latin jazz to classical, a little bit of everything. And the one thing, though, I would say is I didn't feel that the music was a very important part of the dream. I felt that the words were important. And even though I didn't remember what the words were when I woke up, I just had this very strong sense that the words were what I need to pay attention to.
So in my dream, the music is pleasant, and yet the words are what speak to me. And then in the waking world, I can't remember what the words are. I do know, though, that they spoke deeply to me. And so am I setting in a movie theater?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where I was. It was definitely a movie that I was watching, a musical movie that I was watching. But I didn't really have that sense of time and place of where I was inside the dream. I was, it could have been anywhere. It could have been because I didn't have a sense of being with anybody else. It was me, just this observer. And so it could have been, but it didn't necessarily have to be in the theater.
Well, this is where I get some goosebumps going, getting some ahas. In my dream, this is why I love the word projection. And then when we use the concept of a movie, well, that's what movies are. They come about because of a projector, at least in the older style movies. And so there's a projector going on. And for me, it's kind of a pun. There is a projector that is projecting onto the screen to make a movie. You know, that's the fun, easy part of the dream in a way. However, in the dream, I'm also a projector. I am creating, to some extent, this movie that I'm watching. So it is a beautiful circular experience of watching a movie that's about myself in some manner. And I'm watching a movie in a traditional sense that there's a projector in my projection somewhere behind me that's doing this to the screen. And so I'm watching a movie in a sense about myself. So I in this movie about myself, I have an awareness of music that captivates me, and yet the music does not grip me in the same way as the message of the words. And this is what compels me. And of course, when I wake up, I can't remember the words. And this is a part of dreams that's very common. We sometimes cannot remember what we're reading when we're reading in a dream, what someone writes to us in a dream, or other messages. So, and I believe that is a part of the dream's design, is that it's not crucial for me to remember the words, or it may be, and I'm not ready to. It may be that I am integrating the meaning of the words that goes beyond words. I'm going to stop there for a moment and let Viviana and or Debbie to reflect?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I felt that the dream was about me. And even, you know, the woman, the main character with the blonde hair and the wrinkles, mm-hmm. you know, I will say up front, you know, I dye my hair. And at times it's looked like I've had blonde streaks in mm-hmm. my hair. And mm-hmm. in fact, mm-hmm. My daughter gets mad at me because she likes my hair darker. And she says, oh, your hair's too blonde. So, so I was like, you know, that was like another clue that you know, the woman in the dream was me, obviously. And I think maybe one message, because I wasn't remembering the actual words, was that it was a look back on, you know, my adult life, you know, the working part of my life, which would have started in 1973 and gone on there. And that I was upset about there only being, you know, something happened on a Sunday because I didn't take the time to do enough reflection, you know, years earlier. That you know, I was busy doing other things, and I had said it wasn't important at that time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. looking back, you know, the woman is sad because you know she didn't have that reflection. And mm-hmm. I think that's maybe, you know, the message I'm getting right now is that
right. Very well said. What I'm getting right now, this is my message. I see Viviana's head shaking yes at various points. So Viviana, please put that into words.
Yeah, the sad woman, the sad mm-hmm. woman, me, I'm this, if this were my dream, there's a part of this dream that very much screams nostalgia, perhaps, or a time in 1973 that I crave a little more energy from, maybe, or I'd like to maybe, I'm sad about it. And at the same time, I also know that I, knowing the person I've become, the wise woman I've become, that I can take parts of me in 1973 and or the 80s that I loved about that time and perhaps incorporate, maybe it's a call to incorporate those aspects of me that I loved of me back then that perhaps I've lost a little bit of sight of, I've put sort of on the shelf, or I've been on vacation on Sundays can be a time of reflection. Maybe it's just been not taken care of, and I can bring them forward and incorporate them into my present life. So I would ask the dreamer if there are some things that I might want to capitalize on now that this dream is bringing this to the forefront.
Yeah, I like, you know, that you use the word nostalgia, because I think that resonated with me when you said it. And even the idea of, you know, the camera moving as being a, you know, a film. Yeah, it wasn't a video, it was a film, which makes it a little bit older. And, you know, and the dates, you know, 1973, the 80s, you know, going backwards in time, you know, to look at it. And, yeah, I could see that there, I do have a little, you know, agreement with that part in terms of, I could take things from there, remembering, because, you know, we all have days when, you know, things are not quite going the way we want them to. And it makes us, you know, it makes us, our energy dip, and we just, you know, can get into a little bit of a funk. So it's really good to have those touchstones to remember those days when things were great and things were, you know, and all you're running on all cylinders and it's just going well. And remember it, you know, and knowing it could be that way again. You're not stuck in whatever that negative place you think you may be stuck in right now. You know, so the sad woman was sad at the time, but she'd have to be sad forever.
Well, I love how this dream may be for me a kind of review of my life to some extent, beginning in copyright 1973. I love that. It's such a joyous kind of brand that the dream is very determined for me to notice. I have a slightly different take on the 80s. Here's where I go. And again, this is such a projection about me. I am aging toward the 80s. And in this dream, I'm starting to reflect. As the woman in the dream who has a kind of disappointment about how dreams end is very crucial in my view. So this dream is ending with me as the woman. I'm feeling disappointed that I don't have enough, or in my projection, the words aren't quite right, or something isn't quite being expressed in the way that would make me feel better or happier. And so I feel like the dream is lifting up not only my past and how I'm reviewing, it's also lifting up, how do I want to be? This is the question I feel like the dream is asking. How do I want to be when I'm in my 80s? And so this woman is representing for me that time in my life. How will I somehow carry on my calling in a way that offers beauty and healing and creativity into my 80s? And this is where the dream ends is also where my waking life begins. How am I moving into that direction? The dream is also lifting up something. And I think it kind of brings up what Viviana is saying a bit anyway in my projection. It's like, how might I notice how I might accidentally be moving in a way that I might have some disappointments? And so the dream is wondering about that with me, wondering by giving me a bit of a premonition that sometimes dreams offer worst case scenarios, not as a prediction, but simply as a wonder, so that I can not be caught off guard, so that I can, in my waking world, continue to move in the direction that I feel most healthy and most called to. And so the dream woman is saying to me, I need to be alert to stuff that perhaps I'm not alert to in order for my 80s to continue to become fulfilling and rich and healing for the world as well as for myself.
Yeah, I kind of like that, except that I'm not quite to my 80s yet.
Right. That's what the dream is saying. I'm not there yet. Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I've got time. So yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah,
I've got time. That's what the dream is saying. I've got time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that the music will always be in the background, you know, that lovely stuff that keeps us going.
Mm.
There.
So dreamer's choice. Wait, Viviana, did you want to? Yes, please. I'm going to back away.
Oh, she's bursting. She's bursting.
Yes, she's bursting. Please burst.
The fact that the music is so important, and at the same time, the words are more important, though. So in my version of the dream, it's almost like the dream is telling me that communication, it's prioritizing communication, the importance of words, using my words, expressing my words, or listening to others' words, might be the key to an unresolved emotional aspect of my life, as in the sad woman. And at the same time, I love that I'm both enthralled with the performance And then I'm really sad with the performance, sad for its ending. So I'm wondering if the dream might be pointing out for me a longing for stories that resonate, that resonate as in sound-wise, as in emotionally connect with my words, something to that effect, a little more of that in my life.
Yeah, well, I'm all about communication. And that's why the words are more important. Because, you know, I'm also, they'd say, a very practical person. So direct things such as words are more important to me than sort of the ethereal thing that music might represent. Yeah, so that's why the music is in the background, and it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. It's great, but it's not, you know, it's not what I need. You know, I need the communication. I think that's the essential part for me.
And in the dream, at the end, in my dream, I don't quite like, if I'm understanding, I don't quite like the ending. I don't quite like how the words are not just right. Is that correct?
No, it's not that the words aren't right. It's that I don't remember the words that were in, you know, the movie I was watching. And
I, as the woman in the dream, somehow I'm disappointed.
Well, that's because that's where that Sunday thing comes in, where
there we go. Where,
you know, she's upset because something only happens on a Sunday. And that's when we first started talking about this, it got me to be thinking that, you know, Sunday's usually traditionally a day of reflection. And so she said she didn't have more time for that kind of reflection.
So in the dream, I don't have quite enough time, and Sunday isn't enough if I'm the woman in the dream?
Yes. It's not enough. It's not enough. And, and in the dream, she feels like that's the only time to do it. I can wake up and reflect on it and, you know, do a little bit of recrafting and say, well, no, it doesn't only have to be on Sundays. It could be any time.
Yeah, there feels to me to be a nugget about using the word Sunday in my dream, when, as I understand, Sunday isn't, in the waking world, isn't really the day that I do much reflecting. That's for another faith group, another tradition. It's not my tradition. So this is, again, why I got Love Dreams.
It's not mine either. So,
right. Yeah. And this is why I love dreams. I put this in the dream. It's a puzzle. What is that nugget? I could have put a Saturday. I could put a Tuesday. I put a Sunday there. So I'm wondering what that nugget might mean to me, because it annoys me. It's kind of like the sand that is placed in a pearl. It's annoying, it's irritating, and in an oyster. It's annoying and it's creating at the same time something gorgeous, something beautiful, something valuable. So I placed Sunday there to somehow, in my projection, rub me the wrong way, because that's not who I am. Well, then it's inviting me to maybe wonder even more, who am I? Who am I with this pearl, that this sand that's in the oyster?
Well, another way of looking at Sunday for me is that, it's part of the weekend. It's part of the time when, you know, we're working, not working, but playing. And very often in parts of my life, you know, work was 7 days a week. I didn't even have the Sunday to, you know, go out and play, or it wasn't a designated time per se. So, you know, that it could be that, you know, getting more play in my life.
It could be. Now, I'm going to reveal a little something. I have a really good friend, a couple of good friends that use the term OFIS for Sunday. O-F-I-S. And I won't use the F word, but the F word's there. It's like, oh, blank. It's Sunday because that's the last day. I've got to get ready for Monday. Yucky kind of thing. And it's always funny when I hear them say that. So that could be some of the calling is, do I need more rest?
Well, it's something to ponder. Oh, Vihana's got something to say.
No, sorry. I just, I love that as everyone else is singing, the camera keeps coming back to me for a very important lyric. So there's something that I'm needing to express, or I something's very important that I need to communicate. And I'm wondering if I have done that in my life, or if I'm needing to step up and do that, exactly that, with the cameras. The camera's coming in on me. So am I ready to express?
Mm-hmm. That's an important consideration for sure. Because there are times when I feel that I haven't expressed everything I want to, or even blocking, what wants to come out, because it's somehow it's blocked and it hasn't come out. Yeah. Although in the dream, she has the words. So the words are there. And, they're there. They just have to be focused on. Like a camera comes into focus. So the idea is to focus on the words that are important.
This resonates with me and my projection about the dream. Are there callings that I am still yearning for, or maybe that I'm aware of that I'm not able yet to live out? At least that's how I heard Viviana's projection. And again, my projection. As I move in the direction of the 80s, what else is left for me? There is a lot left. And perhaps the dream is saying it is time for me to dig up some of those nuggets that I've needed to maybe put aside because the timing is right.
Mm-hmm. That there's something to be said there. And what I like about that part of the dream is that, it's confirming that, there are a lot of important things inside me that can be expressed. And it may be something that maybe I'm not even aware of what it is right now, but between now and the time I get to my 80s, they'll come up. Mm-hmm. And the dream is saying, be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. Be prepared for your close-up. The camera comes in close, be prepared for it.
Dreamer's choice. Are there some things in my life and world that I am wanting to do that I just haven't been ready to do, that the dream might be provoking me to pay more attention to?
There's certainly things. I mean, if you're talking about like bucket list items, yes.
Yes, why not? Yeah.
Yes, there are. There are things that I would want to do. If I had the funds to do them, I'd do them now. There's some things I'm saving up to do that, I'll do a little the farther down the road. Yeah, so there are things, you know, and it's something that I think about a lot. So it's I think the dream is just a reminder of, you know, those thoughts, and to say, yes, pay attention to these thoughts because they're important.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
Viviana, where are you with some of your projections and thoughts at this point?
Well, I love that I had this dream while I was on vacation. I was on a cruise. I was super relaxed. There's an element of escapism or exploration whenever I'm on a cruise. And I love that in this dream, it brought me this movie that I'm watching. I realize it's just this holographic angle of myself, at least in my version of the dream. And it's just projecting to my mind the importance of my words and of expressing with words, rather with, because the words are ultimately so much more important than the underlying music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I think also the music is the foundation on which the words can lie and shine, because it's there's a force, just like, you know, I'm building from a foundation and building something important, something that, you know, needs to be done, and will be done in time. You know, if not going way back in time to the 80s to go future when I'm in my 80s. So a good thing.
The important thing is just to get it out, to express.
Yes.
At least in my version of the dream. That's what it would
be. Well, I agree with that. I'm all about communication.
And I love that it's time for my close-up.
Yes.
Yeah. So is there anything else? I think we could probably come to an arbitrary close. Is there anything else, Royce or Debbie, that you would like to add on as a final comment?
Well, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, there are some things to explore, and, you know, some things that have resonated with me, and other things I want to think about. Some things that the two of you have said. I said, you know, right now in the moment, I can say, oh yeah, that's great. But then, you know, if I have time to reflect, I could say, well, does that really resonate with me? Or are the thoughts that I came up with in our discussion more critical to me? And that's something I'll enjoy thinking about for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. As the listeners have joined us, whether they, you know, we haven't heard their words, speaking of words, we though know that every person who has listened to your dream tonight or this afternoon, Debbie, is projecting. And so your dream is helping all of us wrestle with our own copyright date, our own journey, our own movie, our own music, our own words, and how the dream is progressing inside of us. So that's a gift that you've offered to us, and we're really grateful for this. And we don't know how the conclusion is going to be. Debbie, as you shared, you're going to, you know, there's a part of you that just kind of jumps and says, yeah, that's right. And you're also wise to know, well, I'm going to reflect on this. I don't know yet what the conclusions are for me in my dream. And that's the way it is for all of us. We don't know. And we also know the dream has come for our blessing, for our health, healing, wholeness, and wisdom.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share it.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful dream and a nice reminder for all of us to get to express with words and the importance of doing that, especially in those areas that might be a little bit blocked or not wanting to come out just yet. So Debbie, thedreamcoach.net is yes. where you can find Debbie and 101 Dream Dates. I love that. Is there to download. Also the book Dreams That Change Our Lives and the podcasts, the Dream Power Radio and Dream Power Experience on YouTube.
Yes.
Wow. This has been just beautiful to get to know you, Debbie, and to see well, your work.
And if anybody, you know, wants to, you know, talk with me or communicate with me, my email, very simple, Debbie, spelled with an I-E, D-E-B-B-I-E, at thedreamcoach.net. So I Perfect. Love kid emails, so bring them on.
That's great. Dr. Royce Fitz, would you like to tell us about RoyceFitz.com?
Well, thank you. I would like to. RoyceFitz.com, I'm spiritual counselor and dream worker. And for anyone to call and want to explore dreams and the rest of life, please reach out. I offer a free 30-minute consultation just to kind of sort a few things out. Also, we have the opportunity to go really deep into helping ourselves to create healing and wisdom so that we can be more effective in relationships and in how we are relating to the world. So I would invite you to reach out. And I do have that book, as Viviana has pointed out, The Geography of the Soul. So go to my website and you'll see more information about that. Viviana, who are you?
You can find me at viviana.org, viviana.org /magic is where you find me. I'm a musician by day and astrologer, tarot card reader, and dream worker by night. And you, the dreamer, if you have a dream you'd like to call in, we do have a hotline. The number is 720-573-9195. We are all over where podcasts are played. Give us a like, share your comments, share your dreams with each other and call them in. We are the Healing Dreams Project podcast, the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, happy dreaming.
Thank you.